Numbers 26:52 through 28:15. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Among these the land shall be divided as an inheritance, according to the number of names. To a larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to a smaller group you shall decrease their inheritance. Each shall be given their inheritance corresponding to the total of those who were numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of their fathers, corresponding to the selection by lot. Their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller groups. These are those who were numbered of the Levites according to their families. Of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites. Of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites. Of Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of Levi. The family of Libnites, the family of Hebronites, the family of Mahalites, the family of Mushites, and the family of Korahites. Kohath fathered Amram, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore to Amram Aaron and Moses, and their sister Miriam. And to Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. Those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the sons of Israel, since no inheritance was given to them among the sons of Israel. These are the ones who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, "They shall certainly die in the wilderness." And not a man was left of them, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came forward, and these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, before the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, yet he was not among the group of those who gathered together against the Lord, in the group of Korah, but he simply died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be withdrawn from among his family simply because he had no son? Give us property among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right about their statements. You shall certainly give them hereditary property among their father's brothers, and you shall transfer the inheritance of their father to them. Further, you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'If a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his nearest relative in his own family, and he shall take possession of it. And it shall be a statutory ordinance to the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded Moses." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up to this mountain of Abarim, and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, just as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water. These are the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, May the Lord, the God of the spirits of humanity, appoint a man over the congregation, who will go out and come in before them, and lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep that have no shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, so that all the congregation of the sons of Israel will obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and all the sons of Israel with him, all the congregation. Then Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, and had him stand before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him, and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the sons of Israel, and say to them, You shall be careful to present to me my offering, my food for my offerings by fire, of a soothing aroma to me, at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, This is the offering by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord, 2 male lambs, 1 year old, without defect, as a continual burnt offering, every day. You shall offer the one lamb in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also, a tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with a fourth of a hin of pure oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained on Mount Sinai, as a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then the drink offering with it shall be a fourth of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place, pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. As the grain offering of the morning, and as its drink offering, you shall offer it, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. Then, on the Sabbath day, 2 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath in addition to the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. Then, at the beginning of each of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 bulls and 1 ram, 7 male lambs, 1 year old without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, for each bull, and 2/10 of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, for the 1 ram, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Their drink offerings shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, and 1/3 of a hin for the ram, and 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering of each month throughout the months of the year, and 1 male goat as a sin offering to the Lord. It shall be offered with its drink offering in addition to the continual burnt offering. John 7. After these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of Booths, was near. So his brothers said to him, Move on from here, and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. for no one does anything in secret when he himself is striving to be known publicly. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. So Jesus said to them, My time is not yet here, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it, that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I am not going up to this feast, because my time has not yet fully arrived. Now, having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as though in secret. So the Jews were looking for him at the feast, saying, Where is he? And there was a great deal of talk about him in secret among the crowds. Some were saying, He is a good man. Others were saying, No, on the contrary, he is misleading the people. However, no one was speaking openly about him, for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple area and began to teach. The Jews then were astonished, saying, How has this man become learned, not having been educated? So Jesus answered them and said, My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is of God or I am speaking from myself. The one who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Did Moses not give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why are you seeking to kill me? The crowd answered, You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one deed, and you are all astonished. For this reason, Moses has given you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And even on the Sabbath, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on a Sabbath, so that the law of Moses will not be broken, are you angry at me because I made an entire man well on a Sabbath? Do not judge by the outward appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, Is this man not the one whom they are seeking to kill? And yet, look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. Whom you do not know. I do know him, because I am from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to arrest him, and yet no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. But many of the crowd believed in him, and they were saying, When the Christ comes, he will not perform more signs than those which this man has done, will he? The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Therefore, Jesus said, For a little while longer I am going to be with you, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews then said to one another, Where does this man intend to go, that we will not find him? He does not intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks, and teach the Greeks, does he? What is the statement that he said, You will seek me, and will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Some of the people, therefore, after they heard these words, were saying, "This truly is the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Christ." But others were saying, "Surely the Christ is not coming from Galilee, is he? Has the scripture not said that the Christ comes from the descendants of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a dissension occurred in the crowd because of him. And some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why do you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never has a man spoken in this way." The Pharisees then replied to them, "You have not been led astray too, have you? Not one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, the one who came to him before, being one of them, said to them, "Our law does not judge the person unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?" They answered and said to him, "You are not from Galilee as well, are you? Examine the scriptures, and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." And everyone went to his home. Second Corinthians 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not speak to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together. My confidence in you is great. My boasting in your behalf is great. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts on the outside, fears inside. But God, who comforts the discouraged, comforted us by the arrival of Titus. And not only by his arrival, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted among you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that that letter caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. So, although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the offender, nor for the sake of the one offended, but that your earnestness in our behalf might be made known to you in the sight of God. Because of this, we have been comforted. And besides our comfort, we rejoiced even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted to him about you regarding anything, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. His affection abounds all the more toward you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice that in everything I have confidence in you. Proverbs 27, 1 through 11. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both of them. Wrath is fierce, and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A satisfied person despises honey, but to a hungry person, any bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, so is a person who wanders from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and a person's advice is sweet to his friend. Do not abandon your friend or your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house on the day of your disaster. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, so that I may reply to one who taunts me. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, God. Give your attention to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, God. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. His years will be like generations. He will sit enthroned before God forever. Appoint faithfulness and truth that they may watch over him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day.